Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 5th of November, recording at 5:41 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture, long-term outlook for the various different asset classes. But, there is a very, very important message from last night's audio that I want to repeat in here today. And that is, you've heard me say so many times before, well, new subscribers haven't, but that markets go through very long periods, many of them where they're range-bound and it's unrewarding and people get discouraged, and heaven forfend, I even lose subscribers during those periods. But then, inevitably, those sideways ranging periods give way to trending markets, which can be quite persistent, explosive even. And we are seeing some of that action right now. And if you think back a little bit in terms of this big picture long-term outlook, you know, right back to 2003, when in April, May, I was most definitely concluding that a good medium-term rally was underway in stock markets, and of course we had the rip-roaring bull markets in a lot of those metals and so on, and there were opportunities galore. And I mentioned as we moved into 2004 that it was going to get much more difficult, that we would see a number of reactions. It would be much, much harder to make money. And unfortunately for a lot of people, that's been true, although there's still been opportunities, but it's been harder. Well, it's getting easier now. And I don't like to bandy about the word easy, so I will say now the markets are pregnant with opportunities, and it's just having the courage to act on some of these opportunities and the mindset not to stay locked in terms of the expectations, which are based on what people have been seeing over the last many months. Now, the interesting developments in terms of, I talked about breakouts here in my comment of the day today, and the important categories where we're seeing this are first in stock markets, and this, you know, my views on this going forward, but get that oil price backing off its highs in a medium-term correction, Bush back in the White House, would really be unleashing these stock markets for a further run. And we are certainly seeing that. And the S&P, again, that's pushed up to a new high for the year, I believe, earlier today. But lots of stock markets had broken out previously. And they in Europe, they included the UK and Spain and Italy and Belgium, Austria, I believe, and all the East European markets and a number of emerging markets around the world. And one of my great favorites, my big favorite for the very long term, India, I mean, that's pushing up to test its highs. Nothing is breaking down. That's the bottom line, and I'll repeat it, nothing is breaking down. And I again stress yet again that this window of opportunity for a medium-term run here, and this is a run that started, remember, from those mid-August lows earlier for a number of the emerging markets, that this window is still wide open. Now, other breakouts that are occurring in here, the US dollar, and that hit another new low on the dollar index today. The euro hit a new high against the dollar in here today. This is a weak dollar story. And in terms of the currencies that it's most weak against, it's commodity-producing currencies, not surprisingly, like the Australian dollar. I increased my long position there again today. And Australian and New Zealand dollars, good examples. also within Europe, it's the Swiss franc and the euro. And I think these trends will go a bit further, largely because politicians and central banks in those countries will not start complaining as they were doing this time last year, for instance, when the dollar was falling down towards a low, which I think it reached in February, depending on which currency you're looking at, but certainly earlier in the year. And the reason they're not complaining at this stage is because of the price of oil, and their stronger currency has obviously lowered the cost of oil in dollars for them, and that's some welcome respite there. But they will start bleeding, and I think what we'll see first is that you'll get industrialists, exporters bleeding, and then the politicians will pick it up, and then the central banks will eventually pay attention. Another breakout. Gold hitting a new high. And I should have mentioned that euro level in here. It's been up as high as 129.52, currently 129.28 a euro against the dollar. Gold been up as high as 434.07, currently 433.05. And these markets, again, these metal markets are really very firm. Tin, which has been the tightest of ranges relative to other industrial metals, and a lot of these industrial metals have been in quite choppy trading ranges for quite some time. They had that downdraft on the morning after the London Metal Exchange dinner. That was not a coincidence in my view, as you know, as you may recall. But some of these metals are pushing upwards. Tin up to 91.50 in here today. That's not a new high, but it's up $175, and it's closing in on those highs. We get a major breakout there, and I'll certainly be leveraging up my position. And some of these other metals are really quite firm. So I see a number of opportunities here. And also, you'll see an interesting, if you want a counter view, or sort of partially counter view, have a look at that Mark Faber report, or Faber, as people, I think it's most frequently pronounced Faber. But have a look at the link. You'll have to click on the link there because I couldn't reproduce any of that report. But you will, I think, find it interesting because he touches on a number of different asset classes. Now, as I said in my copy, when it comes to Mark Faber, I really hold him in the highest regard as a very long-term strategist and visionary. He is very, very good at particularly taking contrarian views, seeing potential well before it becomes mainstream. In terms of short-term timing, though, I often disagree with him, and I noticed, I mean, he could be right, I could be wrong on this, and everybody's view is in with a chance here, and he's certainly a heavyweight thinker, so I'm certainly not complacent on this, but I'll be guided by the evidence that I see on my charts. And so far, that fits in with another bullish hypothesis that I've been outlining for you here in the short to medium term. But I do feel that many, many people hold Mark Faber's view. That may well be the flaw in it, although he's saying in terms of the US dollar that absolutely everyone is bearish of the dollar. But as you know, I've been saying in recent weeks that were they talking bears or acting bears? And I felt that they were more talking bears, because after markets have been in trading ranges for a very long time, many people are often gun shy about coming in and following a breakout because they've been whipsawed too many times. But you can't have the US dollar sustaining a break beneath its US dollar index sustaining a break beneath its February low, and people sitting on the sidelines for very long. And if they're active people in the currency markets, they have to go with it. Ditto investment managers in stock markets. If we're getting breakouts on the upside here, they are in trouble if they don't move with these moves. So I feel that that will fuel these runs, and I do not feel that we have rampant bullishness in stock markets, not by any means. And a lot of people are really quite surprised. And I was questioned considerably by subscribers when, in getting back on from my cycling holiday on August 31st, and said that, to my surprise, actually the technical action looked really quite favorable. A number of people were perplexed or troubled by that view. So once we've been used to a certain script scenario, it is often hard for any of us to change our minds. That's why I've always been such a devotee of charts, because thank heavens for charts. I'm going to make a commercial for charts, but so often I'll look at a chart and say, oh my God, look at that. Markets are full of surprises, and the charts reveal the surprises faster than anything else. And if the price action is out of sync with my theory or expectation, then it's the theory and expectation that gets the most critical assessment. I do not want to rationalize price. Okay, enough of all that background to these stock markets. One more crucial factor. On the website today, there is a vitally important chart for you to look at. It's one that I copied from the current issue of the Bank Credit Analyst. It says global liquidity is booming, and that provides the real reason why we are seeing the moves that we are actually seeing. And I maintain it's bearish for government bonds as well. Okay, you can read about that, so I don't want to go into it in any great detail. But as far as these stock markets are concerned, until I start seeing some technical deterioration, my worst expectation here in short term is that, I think it's limited. Downside's limited to a consolidation. We'll get these from time to time. But I do not look for any big shakeout. And bear in mind, we had that consolidation from the middle of September well into October. My script had been that by the second half of October that we'd see markets picking up again. Well, it wasn't until late October that we saw markets picking up because of the oil price. But bear in mind that consolidation that we saw was considerable. So although the rally very recently has been extremely powerful, it's 2 weeks old, and that's not exactly long in the tooth. And I suspect that there are more people desperate to get in on a pullback than there are anxious to sell the moment they see the first bit of hesitation. But we'll see. That will soon be answered. But my script for a strong fourth quarter rally that might well carry into the first quarter of the year, perhaps well into the first quarter of the year, that remains very much on track. That is supported by the weight of technical evidence. I do feel that we will run into trouble sometime in the in 2005, and I feel at this stage that the real danger period would be from the second quarter onwards or late in the first quarter, but that's just a guess at this stage. And I think this global liquidity chart will have a great deal to do with that. And don't be surprised if we see that reined in a bit, particularly if the oil price retreats a bit further. That will happen. And when that does occur, when I was showing that chart around the office And somebody said to me, well, David, when it stops going up and starts to come down, what does it mean? And the colleague said, game over. And summarizes it. And we'll see, I would say that a lot of these, depend how much the index of global liquidity comes down, it'll start to come down, I think, before we really see it in the markets. But a number of them will be on injury time, assuming I've been right and they've rallied further in the short term. I maintain, of course, that Wall Street is in a secular bear market, defined here over and over and over again as a generational long period of price earnings ratio contraction and rising yields, not in any straight line, but in waves, because investors are willing to, they're not willing to bid markets up to the same extent, not willing to bid equities up to the same extent that they were previously. Okay, in terms of government bonds, now they had quite a shakeout on that job creation in the U.S. They've looked tired on those charts that I put up repeatedly recently, those U.S. 30-year Treasury bonds, and they're currently trading at 112.01, down 118. In terms, I am short there. I'm not as short as I'd like to be. I wish I'd been more aggressive in terms of my baby steps tactic when they were higher, including the JGBs. But they still look like shorts to me. Could liquidity hold them up? Help hoping it would. Not necessarily, as I say, not all market boats are equal, but it might well cushion the downside until or unless people start to worry about inflationary pressures. My view on that, my long-term view is that I've been repeating, is that these global government bond markets particularly are an accident waiting to happen, particularly the U.S. and the Japanese government bond markets. European bond markets will not uncouple from the trend that we see with U.S. Treasuries and JGBs, but they aren't going to fall anywhere near as far, because we're not going to see the same, people won't fear the same inflationary risks given a strong euro overall and Europe's slower GDP growth. So I don't really want to buy government bonds at all. I only want to short. Interestingly, I think I might have mentioned to you that yesterday I was in the city for a long time and I was speaking at this big round table, and I mentioned that I felt that global bonds, U.S. Treasury bonds, were an accident waiting to happen. That raised a lot of eyebrows around the room. I think people were pretty heavily long. Long bonds and didn't accept my view on that. Now, or was surprised by it. Now, as far as the move on to the currency markets, I think this is very much a dollar story, and we have good cause for fundamental economic cause and good technical evidence for further weakness in the U.S. dollar. I maintain that this is a playable trend, and this is something that many subscribers will participate in currencies from time to time. Some subscribers are primarily currency traders. Well, if you are, this is a time to be involved. If you're an occasional player, I think this is a time to be involved. Short dollar. If you need to hedge against a weak dollar, this is. I certainly hope that's in place. I've been saying that for a few weeks now. In terms of my favorite candidates for this, I always like to have yield on my side. I'm assuming that the chart is also on my side, and so it's the Australian dollar right now, which I own against the US dollar. Now, these metal markets, again, people have been talking about China slowdown and going in, and I've seen a number of people recommending the shorting of commodities. I like to keep an open mind, so I've posted some of those articles while saying I didn't agree with that, but at least you see the thinking behind it. But if we start to get some of these metals breaking upwards, and say we've got the new high in gold today, we've got tin testing its highs in here again today, and most of them are pretty steady. Remember, these are the supply inelasticity trades. They are not being dragged down by crude oil at the moment, and just the opposite. They're very firm. Lead, which I own, this has been going up on a daily basis here, 928. That's a terrific move overall. The tin I've already mentioned. The only one that's down today, I noticed that the nickel, but it's only down $75. That's at 14,350, so that's not a big move. And it was down a lot lower. It was down $550 more than that earlier in the day, and then the dollar started to weaken again. Bottom line, weaker dollar, you're going to see these metal prices moving up, and hedge funds will be jumping on these trends. I think they're beginning to do that already. That would be my guess. Silver, very strong in here today. The mining shares, very strong here in this environment. And lastly, on the oil and natural gas, I maintain that we're seeing a medium-term correction, but it's a medium-term correction within their secular bull markets. Have a wonderful weekend.